This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Judith Jacobs, joined today by Lim Soo Ann and T. Xiao Yik. So, 29th of February is World Rare Disease Day, and it is commemorated on the last day of February each year. So this year, it falls on that rarity, a leap day. Mm. And just for some hari ini dalam sejarah, Rare Disease Day was first launched by RDIS, which is the Rare Diseases Europe and its Council of National Alliances, back in 2008, to raise awareness among the general public and decision makers about rare diseases and their impact on patients' lives.
Yeah, so rare diseases are usually genetic and start in childhood. They include diseases like Prader-Willi syndrome, chromosomal abnormalities, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and many others. And in fact, there are over 6,000 types of known rare diseases worldwide.
Mm-hmm. And rare diseases are called rare because each individual disorder may only affect a handful of people scattered around the world. However, taken together, there are more than 300 million people living with a rare disease, and that's equivalent to the population of the US, the world's third largest country.
Yeah, so, you know, many people are saying, you know, rare isn't actually that rare after all. And so in conjunction with World Rare Disease Day, which falls tomorrow, we are shining a spotlight on one of those many, many diseases. So today we're talking about primary immunodeficiencies, or PID. Earlier, I spoke to Bruce Lim, the president of the Malaysian Patient Organization for Primary Immunodeficiencies. And this organization's name is shortened to MyPOPI, which is very cute. MyPOPI actually serves as a support group for people living with primary immunodeficiencies as well as their families. Bruce also has a son with a PID. So first I started by getting him to explain what are PIDs.
Primary immunodeficiency disease, in bracket, known as PID, are a large and growing group of over 300 different genetic disorders. PID as an individual type is rare, but as a whole group of more than 300 types of PID disorders are not rare. Basically, PID is caused by genetic defects of the immune system, which are hereditary. Mm-hmm. So PID patients are more prone than other people to infection. So if PID is left undiagnosed or are misdiagnosed, may cause severe illness, disability, permanent organ damage, or even death. So I would like to stress on the importance of recognizing PID, especially in newborn babies. For example, in the case of a baby is born with severe combined immunodeficiency, in short called SCID, or better known as the bubble boy disease, this is the most severe condition of PID. If doctors and parents are not aware of it, it may be misdiagnosed and led to death of the newborn.
Can you explain how does PID affect a person in terms of their daily lives?
PID person are prone to infection. So in terms of their daily activities, we would advise patients with PID to reduce their frequency to swim in public pools because that may give them ear infection, or to avoid raw food that may cause bacteria, because PID patients are more at high risk to bacterial infection than viral infection.
How is it commonly misdiagnosed? Is it usually mistaken for other conditions and not recognized for what it actually is?
Yes, correct. Maybe I could share with you the experience of my son. Mm-hmm. Our son, who is now 16 years old, was diagnosed with PID when he was 5. Mm. After Caleb turned 1, he was always sick. Mm-hmm. And has a history of recurrent pneumonia, ear infections, and bronchitis. Yet the pediatrician and the ear and lung specialist who treated him didn't suspect that something was amiss. Mm. He was always given either oral or intravenous antibiotics to treat the infection. But the infection reoccurred afterwards. Even the treating pediatrician couldn't figure out what was wrong with my son. Why was he always sick and prone to infection compared to other children of the same age? They are not aware, rather I would say, it's a lack of awareness.
And how did you eventually arrive at the right diagnosis?
Okay. In August 2008, when Caleb was 4 years old, he developed a very bad pneumonia complicated by emphysema, requiring lung surgery. After antibiotic therapy and drainage failed, he was admitted and treated in the hospital for more than 20 days. A couple of months before that, Caleb had also a few episodes of otitis media, requiring deep drainage and insertion of bilateral doormat tubes. Again, you know, the doctors treat his infection as, and not the underlying cause. So our ordeal finally ended during a family holiday in Melbourne, a few weeks after the major hospitalization episode. When he was admitted to Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne for another recurrence of pneumonia, and it was there that the respiratory fellow suspected abnormalities of the immune system. When we gave the chronology of Caleb's history of infection and hospitalization, they did some blood tests and the results show low-level immunoglobulin, suggesting a primary antibody deficiency. So that is how we get to know what is primary immunodeficiency.
And now that you had a name for it and you could understand why it's happening, how did that change the way that your family was able to then manage Caleb's condition?
Initially, when we have that name, it is, as I mentioned, it is so out of nowhere or it is out of in the space. So we do not know where to turn to get information. What is this primary immunodeficiency? So we turn to Mr. Google, obviously, as any other parents will do. We Google it, and we are very fortunate that we went to a correct website, a website from US, and also International Primary Immunodeficiency Organization website. And we could download information about our son's condition, how to manage it, and what are the treatments available. We did consult the immunologist in Singapore, and the immunologist suggested that that Caleb has to do immunoglobulin replacement therapy, which is infusion of IVIG. It is a human antibody, and it has to be done on a monthly basis or 3 weekly basis for a lifelong. Treatment in Malaysia is available. IVIG is available in all public hospitals. It is free for all Malaysians. But however, there are other challenges to access this treatment. We are talking about mismanagement or mistreatment of IVIG by running the IVIG too fast, also under dosage of immunoglobulin, where it leads to severe illness, complication, can also lead to disability, permanent organ damage, or even death. And all these episodes in Malaysia goes unrecorded.
But is it very common?
It is. Unfortunately, some of the hospitals, because their healthcare professionals are not aware how to treat primary immunodeficiency patients, they just treat the patients like ordinary patients.
And there's no guidelines or standard protocols that are available for those treating PIDs?
Our clinical immunologist in our MyPoppy group has come out with a guideline. However, this guideline is not been distributed to all the hospital or to all the respective care person that requires to know about primary immunodeficiency. And since we got this out, I would like to stress that, you know, in Malaysia, we have zero clinical immunologists in the public hospital under Ministry of Health. So there are few clinical immunologists who are trained under the university hospitals, but there is none under the public hospitals.
Ministry of Health. And what is the burden of PIDs in Malaysia in terms of numbers?
Okay, the prevalence for primary immunodeficiency worldwide is 1 to 2,000. So in Malaysia, we do not have a registry. So if we take that prevalence of 1 to 2,000 for Malaysia population of the 2 million, then we should get at least somewhere close to 16,000 patients.
Mm-hmm.
But these numbers is so unreported, or there is no registry at all. What we gather from our medical practitioner in Maipopi, the last we heard the numbers is around 500 cases in the whole Malaysia, including Sabah and Sarawak. So you can see that 500 against 16,000, where is the rest?
Yeah. And can we talk about one more aspect, cost of treatment and whether it's covered by insurance? Can you shed some light on that?
As I mentioned to you, primary immunodeficiency treatment, IRT, IVIG, is free in the public hospital,
but
it is not free in the private hospital. When you talk about health medical insurance, medical insurance has this clause where they do not cover genetic disorder, any chronic disease caused by genetic disorder.
Mm.
Therefore, primary immunodeficiency falls under that clause whereby they do not cover.
Yeah.
However, as I mentioned to you, Caleb's case, when he was admitted in Melbourne, when we came back, we claimed our medical insurance. And of course, there will be discrepancies between that clause and, again, when we first diagnosed.
Mm.
So when we bought that medical insurance for Caleb, it was sought before birth. So we have to fight our case to tell the insurance company that Caleb was not diagnosed with primary immunodeficiency when he was in Melbourne. So only after Melbourne, we know that he has primary immunodeficiency. But the insurance has been bought before that, and therefore, we should be deemed able to claim whatever expenses incurred in Melbourne. And to answer to your question, the dilemma up to now is always whereby if the person that is affected by a rare disease or a genetic disorder may or may not be covered by the insurance. But if the genetic disorder is diagnosed before he got the insurance, then it is very difficult for him to get a medical healthcare policy.
There are many, many challenges you've identified. What are the urgent issues that you think policymakers need to address?
Well, as I was mentioning earlier, and I would like to re-emphasize, there is no clinical immunology, whether it is pediatric or adult, in the public hospital under the Ministry of Health. So that will be my first and utmost cry that the ministry will put attention. I would like to appeal, as my popi, to appeal to the Ministry of Health Malaysia to leave no one behind, including clinical immunology as a subspecialty. Through Persatuan Pesakit Immunodeficiency Primary Malaysia, which is my popi, in the year 2018, we have submitted an advocacy white paper and have a meeting with the ministry. We appeal to the policymakers to honour their promise to our call for action. That was to allow doctors who are interested in immunology to be trained and return to service as clinical immunologists in the public hospital to treat and care for adults and pediatric PID patients. I would like to address some issues where the challenges of accessing treatment. Yeah, as I mentioned, in Malaysia, we are grateful that the cost of IRP, the infusion of IVIG, is fully covered, so it is free. But due to under-treatment, mistreatment, underdosage, it has an indirect repercussion.
Mm-hmm.
It increases the cost of burden of care and burden of economics for the family of the patient with frequent visits to the hospital or admission to the hospital. And to the family or the patient, parents have to take leave from work to care for their loved ones. So therefore, this is a massive challenge to overcome for a better treatment, a better care for PID patients in Malaysia. May I just add one simple awareness thing? You see, although primary immunodeficiency is, as mentioned to you, is rather misdiagnosed, but if healthcare practitioners could pay some attention to a simple 10 warning signs, because for PID, we have developed the 10 warning signs. So I would like to urge the public or the parents and healthcare professionals to pay a little attention to the 10 warning signs. These 10 warning signs is available at our website, www.mypoppy.org. As a final conclusion, I would like to say that since this week is a rare disease week,
mm-hmm.
There are more than 6,000 types of rare disorders. There are more than 300 million people living with rare disorders worldwide. So mm-hmm. rare is no longer rare.
Yep.
So PID patients live their entire life more susceptible to infections, enduring recurrent health problems, and often developing serious and debilitating illness, even death. And all this can be prevented if proper PID management and care is in place. But PID is not contagious. With proper medical care and management, many PID can live full and independent lives. PID patients able to contribute to society and country. PID patients in Malaysia deserve the best care and nothing less.
That was Bruce Lim, the president of the Malaysian Patient Organization for Primary Immunodeficiencies, or MyPOPI. So, you know, if you take in all the numbers, globally, 1 in 20 people will live with a rare disease at some point in their lives. And as Bruce mentioned, you know, rare isn't actually that rare after all. But unfortunately today, many people with rare diseases do not get the proper care that they need. They are either undiagnosed or unable to get access to treatment.
Mm. And so on Health and Living at 4 p.m. today, we'll be exploring these issues and challenges with Professor Dr. Tong Miao Kiong. He's a consultant pediatrician and clinical geneticist, so don't forget to tune in for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's all the time we have for today's show, I'm afraid. But, you know, do continue to share your thoughts with us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us WhatsApp messages at 018-789-8899. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can always download the podcasts at bfm.my/dailydigest. We're also on the BFM app, and you can also search for us on Spotify. For now, here's Marvin Gaye with Ain't No Mountain High Enough. This has been the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.